Hello, traders. My name is Bot Fox. I have a trading website called greenmining.com. Today, I have the privilege to have a NeoWay expert, Glenn Neely, here with me to talk about something he has been working on in the past 30 years called Neely River Theory. And this is the first time that he is ready to reveal some of the philosophical foundation of what this theory is based on. And it's truly a privilege for us to hear that because it's been challenging to find information online as a trader like myself of what this is about. And it's time that he presents himself to give us some idea what this theory is about. Glenn, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Appreciate it.
Yeah. And Glenn, would you mind just share with me from your perspective and give some introduction of what Neely River Theory is to the public, please?
Well, I began my career 30 years ago now, and about 1982, could have been 81, but somewhere around there. And this was before I knew anything about wave theories. For the first year or two, I didn't know anything about wave theory. So I started just investigating all kinds of different market technology and reading all the books I could read and trying to develop some of my own techniques and concepts to help me predict whatever the markets were going to do. And so I came up with some interesting, you know, cool things at that time, but nothing that really carried me through to my ultimate target or ultimate goal. And then I got wind of LA wave theory in probably 1982 or 83, and that was in a book called The Commodity Futures Game. And once I started reading about that, I just became obsessed with wave theory for the next 10 to 15 years. You know, I taught classes to a lot of people during those first 5 years and took notes, and really that was the foundation of writing my book, Mastering LA Wave, which was, you know, basically a labor of love, and I took a lot of time to put that together. But that was the early stages of my career, and it's sort of typical of just about anyone who gets involved in the stock market. They initially assume that if you're going to make the money from trading markets, you have to know what the market's going to do. So there's this whole paradigm, what I now call the forecasting paradigm of markets. And I didn't ever realize there was any other kind of paradigm for trading markets or dealing with markets. So I went, you know, proceeded to study wave theory, assuming if I understood it, if I could do it really well, I could predict markets really well, then I could make money. And so that was my assumption. That was my goal. Started working on that for, you know, 10 years, 15 years. And I noticed, you know, during the first few years, like just about everyone, you know, my trading wasn't very good, and it took a really long time to get better. And as my forecasting got better, my trading got better. But I noticed that my forecasting capabilities were increasing almost on a logarithmic scale, whereas my trading abilities were increasing on an arithmetic kind of basis. So they were starting to diverge. The better I got at forecasting and wave theory, didn't necessarily correlate into better trading or making more money trading. And after about 15 years of this, it started to really bother me. Like, what's wrong? Why is this happening? It's, you know, either my assumption is correct or my assumption isn't correct. And as it kept going, the results kept diverging more and more. So I started to think, well, maybe my original assumption about market forecasting being the foundation of good trading, maybe there's just something wrong with that perspective or that assumption and that paradigm. So that's when I began to realize this is the very beginning of separating the market into two paradigms, a trading paradigm and a forecasting paradigm, and realizing that they're two very different things, and that just because you're really good at forecasting doesn't mean you're good at trading, and just because you're really good at trading doesn't mean you're good at forecasting. And that sort of set me on an entirely new path. This was around the year 2000. Because of my wave theory knowledge, I knew the stock market was about to begin a 20 to 30 year bear market, that we were ready to go into a very long, you know, prolonged sideways consolidation, and that wave theory is terrible at dealing with trading and predicting huge sideways patterns. So I knew that if I didn't do something, if I didn't come up with some new way of dealing with markets, in other words, a trading approach, not a forecasting approach, that I was going to be pretty much doomed in this business, and that, you know, lose all my family's money, my clients' money, and everything else. So that's when I began this entirely, you know, new research in how to design an approach to markets that had nothing to do with forecasting them and had a complete different way of looking at markets. And so that's what Neely River Theory, well, that was the foundation of the beginning of it, and it now has evolved a great deal. It's pretty sophisticated now, but it is an approach to markets that has nothing to do with forecasting.
Wow. Well, I'm as a full-time trader myself, I'm extremely excited to hear and learn as much as you're willing to give of what this Neely River Theory is. So
what's
shall we begin?
What's your first response to what I've said?
What's my first response? I would love to know, because I think totally what you say is totally correct, because as a trader, I personally experience, you know, forecasting and trading are completely different things, because, you know, in trading is about position sizing, risk management, you know, stop and you know, entry and exit. Yeah, exactly, preserving capitals, everything. Even if you can forecast 110% correct and somehow you have too much or too little position sizing, you might not get the benefit you want. And
right.
So it's a very much of, you know, certain times you ought to increase your position sizing with, you know, high confidence and whatnot, and certain times that you might not even want to trade. And I think even if you can predict the market because it's so choppy, you don't really want to enter the market there. So as a trader, I'm really excited to know that there is actually something out there that's really focused on just trading alone. And then if you can combine with decent forecasting, that can be extremely powerful. And I think kind of what you have. So,
well, you know, I totally agree with you that successful trading, no matter what approach you use, the primary crux of successful trading is risk management. And that without that, it doesn't matter what system you use. You're doomed to failure. Now, you could have a system if you're 90% right, but you risk 100% per trade. It only takes one trade and you've lost all your money.
That's
so,
right.
You know, that's obvious, but that's not what River Theory is about. Those are sort of, you know, axioms of trading. Those are known quantities and known risks and so forth. The biggest problem with the forecasting paradigm, which most people don't even quite understand what's happening when they get involved in that process, is that the minute you make a forecast, that's your personal, you know, opinion, and it's your ego that's sort of on the line when you're making these forecasts, either personally or if you say it to your friends or a group of people or in a newsletter or whatever, your reputation or your ego is on the line. And so there's a vested interest in trying to make sure that forecast becomes correct. So you get emotionally involved in that forecast, which is the death knell for good trading, because that means you're going to ignore warning signs, ignore, you know, good practices. So it's the emotional element that forecasting brings to the table that is the real problem with forecasting. If you can remove that, your trading gets much better.
That's right.
But I'm going to get into that a little bit later.
Sure, because everybody likes to be right. And, you know, many traders, they tend to come from a profession of, sometimes some people have an engineering degree or business degree and whatnot.
Right.
So, you know, they have been successful in life by being right. And suddenly when you get into trading and, you know, it's okay to be wrong in trading. You just make sure that you respect the market, you get out of your position. So that's the thing that a lot of traders need to learn when they are just starting, that you're going to be wrong a lot of time, but you need to just, you know, respect that. But
let's discuss why I call it river theory, why I call it Neely river theory. Obviously, Neely, because that's me, but river theory has to do with the way markets have a connection to the behavior of water in a river. So why are markets like rivers? Let's get on to page 2 of the presentation. And I'm going to move on to page 3, and I'm going to discuss it from 2 perspectives. So let's first talk about water in a lake environment. If you're in a lake environment, that means you have all 4 walls or quadrants sort of closed off, and you have this random movement that takes place. You might have convection currents. You can have fish moving in the water. You have wind blowing across the top of the water. Leaves falling in. Everything is almost completely random. You don't know what's going to happen. So if you were standing near the edge of this lake, and let's say you had 5 ping pong balls in your hand, moving on to page 4, if you throw those ping pong balls up in the air, and right before they start coming down, if you could freeze time, there's pretty much no computer in the world, no person in the world who could tell you where those 5 ping pong balls will end up being in 5 or 10 minutes, because it's so random, right?
Right.
So that would be a typical chaotic environment in a lake, which can connect to sometimes market behavior when markets are going sideways in a random up and down fashion, as they've been doing for most of the last, say, 12 years since 2000, you know, going up and down, back and forth in the same range. You might have random news events that come out. You might have buying and selling on a pretty much equal basis, maybe not even that much interest in the markets. So it produces random, chaotic, unpredictable behavior. When you get to back to the water analogy, the minute things change in a water environment from a lake to some other environment is when gravity begins to take over and one part of this lake breaks down. Let's say there's a dam on one side. If one part of that dam breaks, then you start to get a flow, and gravity will pull the water in one direction, and everything starts to change from that point. So the behavior becomes much more definable and predictable, and it involves fluid dynamics. And when you're in a river environment and you have the water moving, the gravity is the force pushing it, of course, and near the perimeter of a river, you'll have turbulence, the sort of, you know, oscillating action near the river as the water drags along the edge, creating friction and causing it to spin around, both in the top and the bottom, or what I call the north bank and the south bank. The quickest movement of water will occur toward the center of the river. So you have quick movement in the middle and more choppy, you know, unpredictable random action near the tops and the bottoms. Okay?
Okay. Yep.
Now this creates, in a river, 3 zones of behavior. 2 are similar, so you have a range of turbulence near the north bank and the south bank, and more directional movement near the center of the river. And anybody can observe this in any river you want to, you know, stand near.
Right.
We move on to markets. The force isn't gravity, but the force in markets is money. Money is what pushes the market up or down. So unlike gravity, which only goes one direction, in a river environment, in a market environment, you can go up or down. So money can be more on the buy side or more on the sell side, which actually doubles the potential complexity of a situation, but you generally still have the same overall dynamics taking place. So you have the money pushing the market forward with time, either up or down. If there's more buying pressure, then prices will be going upward as time goes to the right. And if you have more selling pressure, then prices will be going downward as time moves to the right. But the force is money instead of gravity. So the difference here is that you have a different force, but creating very similar kinds of behavior. And in markets, I'm sure you've seen markets where you have channels above and below a market, and the market going back and forth inside that channel. And if you were to create these channels in a very logical way, which I explain, you know, as the theory gets more advanced, it explains how to create these channels completely objectively. And once you do that, then you can start to see the price movement of a market to begin to move in the same manner as it moves inside of a river. Now, these channels will not always be sideways. They sometimes go up, sometimes go down, sometimes way up, way down, or perfectly horizontal. But the behavior inside of that channel will tend to mimic the behavior of water or any kind of object that's floating on the top of water in a river. And so that's,
sure.
That's the first step in river theory, is starting to realize that there is a connection between the behavior of water flowing through a river and the behavior of traders and money flowing through a market.
Okay.
Any
comments
or questions?
I found the question, Glenn. I guess from a trader perspective, that I notice the market can only do two things. This is just from a trader's perspective. So perhaps okay. That you can connect with the Neely River series. The market is either trending or is consolidating. Trending market obviously is the market that everybody loves to be in and right away. It's similar to what you just say about the river, that if you have a fast moving river that is a straight line river from higher place to lower place, you would love to take that ride and make money. And then on the other hand, you have a consolidating area where I think it's the trickiest part. In my experience, that three things can happen in consolidating area. Either it's just consolidating, spending time there, and you know, work off overbought or oversold condition, and the trend continue from there, or it serves as a reversal point, can be a major top or major bottom, where, like you say, the money basically changing direction from there, or it can serve as just a minor retracement point, that retracement and consolidation are the two things that work off overbought and oversold condition to make the trend continue to go forward. And
right.
That's my experience of trading, that you basically have two scenarios. One is trending, the other one is consolidating. Consolidating is the time where it's tricky. You know, if you believe that the trend is going to continue, it's just working off overbought,
right.
Oversold condition, then obviously you wanted to continue to position yourself to get ready for the next trend. And
right, but you said the crucial word there. You said if you believe. Believe
right.
Means your ego is involved, forecasting is involved, and that's the problem. River theory completely removes this whole belief system about markets, completely removes expectations about what the market's supposed to do. Because remember, you have absolutely no control on whether market's going up or down, left or right, you know, consolidating or trending. All you have control over is when you get in and when you get out, and that's it. And, of course,
right.
Whether you buy or sell when you're doing that. So that is the only thing you have control over. So the most crucial thing is making sure your entries are well designed, independent of whatever the market's going to do, so that if it turns out the market doesn't move in your favor, you can get out, hopefully break even. If it does move in your favor, then you make money, because the goal is to not lose money as often as possible. That way, when the markets do go in your favor, then you're going to make money. But the primary goal of river theory is to get risk to break even as soon as possible, and that way it doesn't matter what happens after that, and there is no expectation of how the market's going to move or how far it's going to go or how long it's going to last. And most of the time when you take these trades based on river theory, it's very uncomfortable, because you're really doing exactly the opposite of what feels good and what feels normal, and you're just sort of going on gut faith, that you're just hoping and praying that it's going to reverse or it's going to do whatever it's supposed to do, but you have absolutely no idea and no expectation of that future event. Let me give you a different example. This is from a trader's perspective. If you're in a river and you're in a boat in a river or a raft, do you worry about where the ocean is to decide which way you're going to paddle?
Well, most likely I'm going to go downstream if I'm in the river.
Well, the river is going to take you to the ocean no matter what, right?
Right.
As long as you survive until you get there. So your job in that boat is to survive until you finally get to the ocean, because you're going to get there as long as you don't hit rocks, go over a waterfall, hit a sandbar, your raft gets a hole in it or something like that. So as long as you just manage your environment in the here and now every second properly, eventually you're just going to get to the ocean. So getting to the ocean isn't something that requires effort. It's surviving until you get there, right?
Sure, sure.
So river theory is about how to survive as a trader. What should you do every minute, every new bar that appears? What should you be doing with your stop and with your target? And should you be staying in or getting out? What you should be doing, not worrying about where you're going or how far you're, how much money you're going to make and how long it's going to take or any of that stuff. Your goal is to survive until the market takes you wherever it's ultimately going to go, because that part you have no control over. The only thing you have control over is what you're going to do right now. And river theory is all about what to do right now to survive until the market goes wherever it's going to end up going.
Yeah, it sounds quite different than most discretionary trading, where, most discretionary trader, from technical analysis, or just trader six cents and whatnot, they tend to have a feeling of where this market is going to go.
Right.
Sounds like, Neely Way theory, Neely River theory is a higher up of a very good mechanical system, because it sounds almost like a system trading, except that most system trading, they are not very adaptable.
Well, river theory doesn't involve any mathematics. It doesn't involve any projections of future price action. It observes the behavior of three different types of traders, and we're going to probably save this for next time. Let me just make sure I'm not jumping the gun here. Give me 1 second. I want to just look ahead into the next presentation. Let's see. I don't have it on the next one, so I'll just cover it a little bit. It has to do with dividing markets into three different categories of traders, because there's only three ways in the entire world you can trade as a trader. You can either be a trend follower, which means you're going generally buying into strength or selling into weakness, or you can be a top and bottom picker, which means you're trying to sell into the highs and buy into the lows, or you can be a bargain hunter, which means you're buying or selling near the middle. You let the high or the low happen, you wait for a reaction, and you get in on a pullback. So as a trader, you can only get in near the top, near the middle, or near the bottom. That's it. So that separates the markets into three different trading styles, and each one of those trading styles works some of the time. 99% or 100% of every system I've ever seen or every approach to markets I've ever seen in my entire 30-year career is always one of those three. In other words, if a person says, well, I'm a trend follower, well, then that means they're trying to make sure, they're trying to make the market adhere to their belief system that the market trends most of the time. But based on probabilities, if you have three different ways you can trade, the market's probably going to only trend about a third of the time. So that means two-thirds of the time, you're trading in a manner that's inconsistent with reality. So no matter which type you pick, if you pick a top and bottom system, with, for the most part, wave theory is a top and bottom picking approach. It doesn't work well in the middle. It works best at the beginning and the end. So if you're using wave theory, every time a market starts trending really well, you're going to have a temptation to try to predict the top of that uptrend, assuming it's always going to finish going up sometime real soon. And so you might sell, and then you get stopped out, and you sell, and it goes up, and you get stopped out, and you keep selling. So you're attempting to trade a trending market with a top and bottom picking system. Or you might be in a bargain hunter like Warren Buffett, but maybe 90% of the time, or whatever the percentage is, markets don't come around and give you that 50% retracement or give you that big bargain. They just go up for a long time, and either you got in or you didn't. So each one of them has its strong points and its weak points. The crucial thing is you have to know which one currently applies to the current environment, like which group, top and bottom pickers, bargain hunters, or trend followers, which one of those in that group is currently in charge of the market. And if you know which group is in charge, then you're going to know how to trade and you're going to make the most money. because all three of them can't make the most money. Only one group can be doing the exact right thing at the right time to make the most money. And we'll be going into some of that in a future talk.
And Glenn, I was just extremely impressed by what you just say of three type of trading, because I just never heard anybody actually categorize that clearly. Personally, I belong to the retracement, buy the retracement, and also top and bottom pickers. I'm not very good at, you know, buying the breakout or selling the breakout. I think, you know, that almost sounds like turtle system that is designed just for that, where you're breaking out a channel, you decide to buy or sell. And
yeah, well, the big,
you think,
most
go ahead.
Is that you don't only focus on one, and there's really three types of trading. And if you only focus on one, then you're never going to be successful as a trader. It's extremely difficult unless you really manage your risk well.
Right.
So you have a system that actually deals with all three and interchanges strategies depending on the environment. And River Theory is the only approach I've ever seen in my life that actually does that. And that's what I think makes it pretty much revolutionary, extremely unique, and far more effective. It completely removes the emotional element from trading. It completely objectifies who's in charge, what the trend is based on very clear observational criteria, not mathematical criteria. There's no math involved at all. So it's extremely unique, and I think a new paradigm of market technology. And so that's why.
Well, Glenn, I really appreciate it, and in fact, I cannot wait for my next interview with you to really dig into those three types of trader and how you use your knowledge and background to come up with a system that actually trade those three different markets. And I'm sure that you're going to provide more of a, you know, broad background about those subjects, but you know, I cannot wait to dig into more. But go ahead.
I think our next interview is scheduled, so we should be picking this up in early November and going on with the next part of the introduction to New River Theory. It will be a three-part interview, by the way.
Sure. Well, thank you very much. And again, you know, it's my privilege, as well as everyone who is listening and reading of this interview, that Glenn in making himself available to actually reveal this thing that he has been working on for the last 30 years. And let's just wait for the next interview and see what we can come up with. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, bud. Appreciate it.